they showed it to Brother Johnson, mm-hmm. and the print was really small already. So now I'm going to have to use this. Yeah, the print was small on the one I printed. And now I'm going to have to use the one in my phone if it's not available. I don't know what it is, but we'll make it through. Praise the Lord. Amen. So I was delighted. I feel like I want to sound like the psalmist who said I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. Because the house of the Lord, I like what my sister Kim said there. She said that this is the place where all the stuff that helps you pull all the loose ends of your life together.
That's right.
They're ministered to us here in this atmosphere. And I thank God for that. Now, this is what the print looks like on my cell phone here. So y'all bear with a brother. I can blow it up a little bit here. But I did actually find the small one, so we're still in good shape.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So pray with me and we will get this message. Now, this I was told by your pastor that this is Men's and Women's Day.
Amen.
And that you have a theme of men and women made in the image of God.
All right.
And I love that. That's a beautiful theme. And don't mind the selective audience, because I think God arranges that all the time. And so we're not going to worry about it. We're just going to go ahead and get into the Word. And I was certain when I heard Brother Levels present his message, his talk, that this is definitely on target. If he was talking about a well-dressed man.
Yeah.
And what is it that makes you well-dressed? It's not the stets and hats and banisters and all these kinds of things. Those are good too, and they're okay. But you need to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel.
Watch out.
Amen. You need to have on your head the helmet of salvation.
That's right.
And the breastplate of righteousness, all that good stuff, y'all heard that. So
yeah.
I'm just going to thank God now and tell you what the Lord has given us for this message today.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you to put your spiritual thinking cap on, because I think this is definitely something that is very, very pertinent to Men and Women's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to ask you to look at a text that will be found in a place that you probably wouldn't expect. We're going to take a look at Matthew.
Mm-hmm.
Chapter number 24, just a few verses.
Okay.
And the main text is a little shocking.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be found in the book of Job.
Mm-hmm.
And I say it's a little shocking because primarily we only hear about this when we're at funerals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh. And I wonder, why would we only have this beautiful passage at a funeral?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're going to talk about it in Job 14. So let's go with the Matthew 24 text.
Mm-hmm.
First in the New Testament, and we're going to look at verse number 5, actually starting with this phrase. This is something that that Jesus says here. His disciples are showing him the buildings of the temple, and talking about how fancy they are and all that. And so Jesus says, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name saying I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled.
Yeah. Yeah.
For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet.
Mm-hmm.
And ye shall, he says here, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places.
Mm-hmm.
All these are the beginning of sorrows.
Mm-hmm.
Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, is verse 12. I got this one highlighted in black. You may want to mark it out. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. and then shall the end come. Okay, so he mentions three times there concerning, we're going to look at that, we'll come back to it, but let's go ahead. I just want to stop that reading. May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his holy word. And let's read just a few verses in this Job 14, and then we'll get the idea that God has given me to share with you. Job 14 and 1. Man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble.
All right.
He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeteth also as a shadow and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such a one and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest till he shall accomplish as a hireling his day. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stock thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. But a man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? As the waters fall or fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up. That's Job 14, 1, about the first 11 verses. He goes on to say in verse 12, so man lieth down and riseth not until the heavens be no more, and they shall not wake nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou would hide me in the grave, that thou wouldst keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou would appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Amen. That's Job, the Old Testament to the people of God. May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. You may be seated in the sanctuary in the presence of the Lord. And we want to grab for a subject for this Men and Women's Day of 2019 here at the New Prospect NB Church, famous New Prospect NB Church. This is a famous church. You may not think so. When you think about all the successive generations of preachers and the number of souls that have been saved, this is the world famous New Prospect Missionary Baptist Church, located in beautiful downtown East St. Louis. We always say we are St. Timothy MB Church, right downtown in beautiful Wellston, Missouri.
That's right.
And I believe all of this is a part of who we are.
Oh, yes.
You know what God said in his word, that he is going to confound the wise with foolish things that seem foolish to the wise. And he'll take something that's simple, and people with big fancy stuff think they have it going on. But God says, I can work in the trenches.
Oh, yes.
And my work is being done, even though it looks like it might be appear to foolishness to some of them. You see, because he said that the word of the gospel is foolishness to them who are perishing, right? But unto us who are being saved, it is the wisdom and the power of God. See, and Paul was one of those highfalutin kind of preachers who used to be up there at the temple, and you don't come up here unless you do certain rituals and all that before you can walk through here. And you need to buy these sacrifices, because the ones you got, they're too scrawny and ugly, and the Lord is not accepting those. You see, and you know all the stuff when you read the narrative. But God went down to the pool of Bethesda. That's where Jesus went, right? Out of the way, kind of a place somewhere off from the temple. And there were people down there waiting on the troubling of the waters to get in. See, now they went up there in the big fancy place. So it's not all about fancy.
All right, man.
See, God is into truth and accuracy.
Yes, he is.
So that's why I say that our churches are famous churches among the churches in the world.
Amen.
Hey, man, we don't have to have a stained glass edifice with a $50 million pipe organ in it for us to preach.
Amen.
And we're getting the same good, solid word of God that we need to feed our souls. So this theme, men and women, made in the image of God. I want to talk with you just a little bit today in a message that God has given me from these texts called God's Gospel and the Provocation of Eve.
All right.
God's Gospel and the Provocation of Eve. And that takes us right back immediately. When you hear about Eve, you don't hear about her much after Genesis.
Watch out, man.
You see, except a few places in the New Testament, like in 2 Corinthians when Paul says, just as the serpent beguiled Eve, that I want to, he went back to Eve to talk about, he wants to be careful that we don't allow the serpent to trick us.
Watch out, that's it.
See, because it was a trick back there at the beginning. Eve had everything perfect. She was the perfect helpmeet for Adam. They were in a perfect paradise.
Yes, they were.
Nothing was wrong with anything. And yet into that situation, Eve was provoked through deceit.
Yes.
By the devil.
Yep.
To create a vast chasm between men and women.
That's it.
That still exists today.
Yep. That's it.
It's amazing. God has given good news that you can eat of every tree here. All this, every tree in the garden is good for you.
Yeah.
And I just got this one, don't eat it.
Only one.
Just one. See, and you find that in the reading before God said to Adam that it's not good that you should be alone.
Yeah.
And so, and when you first hear that, to me, that, and y'all who know me, you know, when I see something like that, I go, wait a minute now, this is in Genesis 2. There hasn't been any sin yet.
No, that's right.
Preach.
No sin yet. But God says it is not good that man should be alone. Wow. Boy, you got to take a notice of that. But how can it be something not good? And it's perfect.
Yeah.
Everything is perfect.
All right.
Perfect health, perfect beauty, perfect relationship with God. Nothing imperfect at all.
Yeah.
No contamination.
Yeah.
Absolutely holy. It's hard for us to even wrap our mind around that kind of a situation.
Yeah.
But we've been so far in the degradation and all manner of sin and craziness in the world. Imagine perfect.
Yeah.
And you ought to imagine it, because that's where you're heading if you say it. We're going back to perfect.
Yeah.
I won't let that cat out the bag up front. But think about that situation when the first thing that was pronounced as not good was given in the word.
Yeah.
God said it's not good that the man should be alone. And so, of course, we know the answer to that was Eve.
Yep.
And I think he meant that in a number of ways. How was it not good that man should be alone? Not good because he doesn't have a way to reproduce himself. That's one thing.
Yep.
So it'll just be him if I don't do something about this situation.
Mm-hmm.
See? And he wasn't going to die. He would have just been there by himself, I guess.
Yeah.
But that's not good because everything else had a mate.
That's right. Yeah.
And were multiplying and things were going on and producing after their own kind.
Yep.
Plus, when we read things in the New Testament, like Jesus said, that it was the writer for the Hebrews telling us about Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And it was that he might bring many sons and daughters to glory.
Yes.
See, so there was a future thing there that God was seeing even at that moment when he didn't really have to have a message of salvation yet, because there was no fall yet.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And so, looking at this provocation of Eve is a very important thing for the church today. And I'm going to try to get this into a pretty good nutshell so you can leave with some things to think about here.
All right.
Today.
All right.
Okay, so the fifth chapter, this is what I want to talk with you about. As it was said to the Corinthians, know ye not that a little leaven, leavens the whole lump, just takes a little.
Yes, sir.
Little leaven. Some of y'all know about that. Some of the ladies I know y'all cook bread and all that. And then you put the dough and you mix it all up, and it's not until you throw in the yeast and it begins to swell up and overtake the bowl. But it only takes a little bit, so you pinch some of that off of this one when you make the next batch, and you throw it in the next batch and it swells all up again. Right? And you can keep on doing that. You can just keep on throwing that little bit of leaven, and it'll leaven the whole lump. Every time. So he's saying a little bit of sin can get in and really wreck your situation. So you got to be very careful about weeding out even the smallest little bit. And so that won't be possible for me and you unless we're thinking the right way.
All right.
Okay, so right away when we see what happens after God makes Eve and she's brought to Adam, And the devil, being who he is, comes to her. He didn't come there.
Yep.
And y'all know the story. Mm-hmm. He comes to her and he said, "Our God really didn't mean that he said, did he?" Damn, you talking about all these trees? Let's go over here to that one he talked about that's not good for you. And he guides her to the tree that God has seen.
All right.
We eat this one here, leave it alone.
Amen.
You see, and so she was provoked by the devil to not believe what God said.
Yeah, that's it.
She was provoked by the devil to disbelieve what God said.
That's right, huh?
And so that's where it all starts. Now, man didn't fall into sin, however.
Yeah.
Until Adam transgressed God.
Right. Yes, that's it. That's it.
So she had eaten, and the devil convinced her it's good for you to make you like God, and you're going to be all right when you taste that, and you're going to see that he's been holding out on you. But God always has what we need.
Always.
And he's never holding out on us. He gave us the very best. And he wants you to have the very best. And it's the devil that provokes people to go over the line and transgress.
Yes.
And so we don't know what was Adam's motivation after Eve ate it. Was he thinking? A lot of people speculate. That's about all we can do. Why did he eat it? Some people say, well, he loved her so much and he knew she had done wrong. I'm going to eat it too, because I don't want to be here without you. I don't know. That's romantic. That's romantic, isn't it? You know, or it might have been, well, that was pretty good. I don't know. It could have been from his own internal motivation. Why not give it where she's enjoying that thing? Give me a piece of that. I don't know. We don't know. But for whatever reason, the sin was not charged until Adam ate it. But see, Eve had to be provoked. And so their first thought was, well, we got to get coverage now.
Watch out.
We ain't right. Look at this. We ain't got on no clothes. You notice something you hadn't seen before.
Yep, that's true.
See, was covered with the glory of God.
That's it.
The Shekinah was all around.
Yeah.
As soon as that sin happened, whew, oh my goodness, got to get covered. And so they run and create the garment industry. That's what all these people do. God calls, asks him, where are you? Adam, where are you? And he don't mean like, where are you physically? I know where you are physically, but where are you?
That's right.
Where you at now?
Yeah.
You ever call your kids and say, where you at now? You know, but we know you're involved in some foolishness. And he said, oh, we saw you coming and we were naked.
Yeah.
But who told you was there?
That's right.
How did you get that revelation?
Uh-huh.
See, and so we went to hide ourselves. And of course, God's response was a priestly response.
Yes.
He knew they were messed up.
Yes.
And so it says that the Lord God made coats of skins, Genesis 3:21, and covered them.
Yep.
See?
Amen.
In other words, it causes death, like I told you.
Yes.
And it takes the shedding of blood to remit for your sin.
Yes.
See, no fig leaves, no nothing dies there.
Yes.
See what I'm saying?
That's right.
But it costs life. Death must be paid for the shedding of blood for the remission of sin. That's why Hebrews 9 says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. See, the wages for sin, Romans says, is what? Is death. So you got to have death and the shedding of blood for the remission of sin. So Eve was provoked. Adam crossed the line willfully. And we say the rest is history, or so to speak. Okay, now, and I have to mingle this just a little bit because I want to get to a point. We've been studying at St. Timothy this whole year. We started a lesson that I told them is going to take us all year. And I don't think you'll get tired of it unless you graduate. If you graduate, that means you'll be like Jesus. And the subject is learning to love like Jesus.
That's right. Amen.
Learning to love like Jesus. That's a big project.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what? That's what our discipleship is called to be.
That's right.
Jesus said that the disciple is to be like his teacher. Yeah. Right?
That's right.
A disciple is a learner.
Yes.
The love of Jesus is just incredible.
Yeah. Oh, yes,
Because he loved us so much that what did God say about it? John 3:16, for he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. This is unconditional love. He loves us just like we are. He knows the mess we're in. He knows every time the devil's provoked us to do something and we've been suckered and we fell into it. He knows all about it, but he still loves you.
Yes.
Now let me help you with that. God does not change. That's a good thing. One of the things you need to remember about God is he is immutable.
That's right. Amen.
That means he does not change. So that means if it says in the Bible God is love, it does say that, doesn't it?
Yes.
Then God has always been love. And he always will be loved. Because he does not change. You know what? There's nothing to change. If you're perfect, then what is there to change?
No.
So he never changed. What happened, man changed.
That's it.
See? And so God wanted to fix it. And so he did. He started up a sacrificial system that would give man the opportunity by obedience to be clean and remain clean through relationship with him and through sacrifice. The sacrifice was necessary. Yeah. Every sacrifice was a picture of what God would eventually provide, and that is his own son.
Yes.
God was not surprised when any of this stuff happened.
Amen.
It didn't shock him one minute. Because it had already been determined in the Godhead from the foundation of the world that he would send his son to save mankind. So did the devil fool God? No. Absolutely not. Did Adam shock God? No. Was the provocation of Eve a surprise to God? No. Because God already had the gospel in mind even before he created anything. Now what I want to do is help the church to understand that it's necessary for us to realize this. Do you know what I said this in our message this morning? So St. Timothy, don't get bored. I have to share some of this with our new prospect family. I said this morning that your salvation, if you are saved, if you have trusted and believed in Jesus Christ, is already finished.
Yeah.
To God.
Yeah.
It's complete in God's mind.
Yeah.
We don't know it yet.
Yeah.
That's why there's going to be the situation of suffering.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not necessarily of us just suffering in the world. Because a lot of people don't believe God.
That's right.
Sometimes we don't believe God. We say we're saved.
That's right.
But we don't know how God's going to take care of this problem here. And we start to worry and all of that. And I always ask people, who does worry go to? I don't know who worry goes to. The Bible says, pray.
Yes.
Seek the Lord.
Yes.
Seek ye the Lord while he may be found.
Yes.
See, call ye upon him while he is near.
Right.
Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts.
Yes.
And let them call upon the Lord who will abundantly pardon. That's what it says in Isaiah.
Yes.
So why do we go there? Why do we get in little niches of where is God right now?
Mm-hmm. All right.
Where is he?
Amen.
Well, he right where he always is.
Yes. Yes.
And instead of us calling on God, you take up worry.
Yep.
And I think the devil likes that.
No doubt.
So in our message this morning, just to put it in a nutshell, we had the plight of man, which is the fact that all have sinned, come short of the glory of God, and are worthy of death and hell, the separation from God.
Yep.
That's the plight. But we also have the fight with God. Some people are struggling, fighting with God. Well, I don't believe you, because if it's a perfect being like that, I'm toast. That's what they know.
Mm-hmm.
So we rather give credit to a big explosion that just blew up and everything is here. Because we don't want to have to report to anybody who is so wise and so knowledgeable and so powerful that I know everything and I can make trees and grass and dirt and planets and all kinds of gases and all the things he made. Boy, that kind of wisdom is off the chart. So we rather say it's an accident. And back 47 billion years ago, there was a... Yeah, every time I see that, I say, well, how old are you, sir? 50 million. Well, you better figure this out. Because you may not have a long time to get it together. So they don't want to believe in a supreme being that knows everything I'm doing, knows everything I'm thinking, knows all the filthy stuff that goes through my head, knows how mean I am when I want to get in my zone. He knows all that.
Yes.
Knows when I feel like cheating and lying and stealing and all that. He knows everything about me. Boy, that's scary.
Oh, yes.
You know what? But God loves you. He knows right where you are in whatever it is you're dealing with.
Yeah.
And he's the only one that can forgive you.
The only one.
He has made a way. He wants to forgive you.
Yeah.
The Bible says God is quick to mercy and slow to anger.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? But we don't know that unless we study his word.
Right.
So how do we get this gospel idea in? Well, Jesus was already chosen. He chose before the foundation of the world to deal with the problem.
Amen.
That's it.
We learn that in the Bible. Scripture teaches us that Jesus was face to face with the Father, but he thought it not robbery to be equal with God in Philippians 2.
Amen.
But he took upon himself the form of a servant,
mm-hmm.
and was found in fashion as of a man.
Yes.
And he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, which is the penalty for sin,
wow.
even the death of the cross,
wow.
which is probably about the most hideous and evil way you could ever die. A public execution, I'm hanging you on a tree
mm-hmm.
in broad daylight, stripped
yes.
of all your clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Humiliating.
Yes.
Just if I stripped you and pushed you out there in the middle of our street, you'd be so humiliated. Can you imagine the embarrassment?
Mm-hmm.
Much less parading you down Main Street in Jerusalem.
That's right.
And taking off your clothes and gambling over there while you're over there suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I want that one there. That was a seamless garment. Let me see, can I hit for Saturday? Think about that.
Yes.
How ugly that is.
Yes.
And he already knew that. But it said, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross.
Sure. Yes.
But he was equal with the Father.
Yes. Yes.
See? And he told his Father, I'll go down and redeem mankind. Just prepare a body for me.
Thank you.
So what was God thinking when just before he was provoked? When he said it's not good that man should be alone, he was making a way that he could take on human flesh without taking on human sin. That's why Eve is the answer to it's not good that man should be alone.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Because the woman does not share the bloodstream with the child.
Yeah.
And it still doesn't happen. None of you women who had kids shared the bloodstream with your child. Just doesn't happen. Check that out. That's a strong salient fact. Ask your gynecologist. Does the baby in the womb share the bloodstream with the mother? The answer is no. No baby ever did at any time. See, that's why the placenta is there and the baby is there. A female blood pressure would explode an embryo into pieces. 120 over 80, boom, it wouldn't even be able to handle it. So God knew that in his great wisdom. So that's why the baby's own heart pumps his own blood at a rate that an embryo can take.
All right.
And it grows in the womb for 9 months till it can support itself without the nutrition coming through the placenta. Placental barrier into the baby whose heart is pumping his own blood back and forth through the umbilical cord. Boy, that's some serious wisdom there. And God did that because he knew when the fullness of time was come, God would send forth his son made of a woman. Her name was Mary. See that? Who was with child of the Holy Ghost. That's some deep stuff there in the prospect. But he could take on flesh without taking on sin. That was the idea.
Model.
That's why this is called the gospel of God and the provocation of Eve. Eve was provoked, but God was preparing a gospel for us.
Yes.
Good news that even though we should all be toast because we all sinned and come short of the glory of God, I got a way to come through to humanity and fix it.
Yeah.
I can come through humanity, take on flesh, and shed my own blood to fix it for whoever
needs
in me. And it's so amazing. That's why the folks who are in the world who you see having all these issues now, that's why they're so upset.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't studied this. We'd rather just push that aside. And that's primitive.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the Bible's a bestseller, if they were to put it on the list of bestsellers, it would outsell everything that they're selling.
Every year.
But sir, we can't count that anymore.
Yes, it would.
That's ancient history.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So we live in an evil time. Let me move to my point. I digress. Matthew, Jesus was telling the disciples to take heed that no man deceive you. This is my point. I don't want you to be deceived because many will come in my name saying I am the Christ, or they may even come saying you don't need Christ, or that there is no Christ. But they're coming to deceive you. And there you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Are you getting that on your TV?
Yeah.
Every day.
Every day.
Oh, we gotta have a wall. And I said this morning, and I wasn't kidding. You had a man in prison in the United States. They dug out of Mexico and took him out under the wall. Come on now. Gotta be kidding me. And they put it on the news. Del Chapo or somebody or another. Like, wow, okay, they dug in there and got it. Well, don't you think they can just dig under the wall, you silly man? I digress. He said these are the signs of the end of the time. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines. You know what's a shame that there's famine?
Yes, it is.
There's enough food to feed everybody. We throw away more food than they produce half the time. Think about your garbage can last week. And just to add that up, times thousands of millions. But there are people starving. Mostly it's greedy. That's the problem. I throw the weed in, I'd rather feed the fish than the people. Throw the weed in the ocean to keep the price up. Pay them not to drink. They do that. They do that stuff. And you know that's evil. And there's people starving. But Jesus said there'll be famines in diverse places. Pestilence, that's disease, incurable disease. Don't even need to talk about that.
That's right.
Earthquakes in diverse places. And all these are the beginning of sorrows.
Yeah.
Then shall they deliver you, that's folks who believe, up to be afflicted.
Yep.
And shall kill you. You know what? The only thing that the tolerance people, the PC folks, don't like is Christians. We can tolerate transgender,
yep.
Gay, LGBTQ.
Yep.
We can tolerate that, but not Christians.
No, no.
Not you.
No.
That's intolerable. We're going to have you arrested for that. The stuff y'all teach.
Yeah.
Ostracized because of his name. That's what it says.
Yes.
And notice what else he says, and we'll move along. They'll deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And you know what? Churches don't even want to preach this. They don't want to tell the congregation somebody might want to kill you because you're a Christian. Oh, you can't say that, Pastor. Attendance is going to drop. That don't change what God said, though.
That's right.
Every day.
You know what? You won't go out of here 1 second before you're supposed to.
That's right.
You already got an appointment.
Amen.
Whatever that is, it's not going to be altered.
Amen.
Ain't nobody speed it up or slow it down.
Yes.
God has got you covered. And when you go, it's just your time.
Yes. Yes.
However it happens. So Jesus said, trust in me.
That's right.
But notice what he says. He goes on to say, and many false prophets shall arise and will mislead many.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to also be offended because of him.
Mm-hmm.
People don't want to stand up for his name.
Yes.
Shame to the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And they shall betray one another and shall hate one another.
Mm-hmm.
See that? And the false prophets will arise and mislead many. But this is the big problem. That's why I highlighted this verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound,
yes,
the love of many shall wax cold.
Oh.
That's the real problem.
Yes.
And I don't know if you ever noticed this. I see folks, I'm sitting at the stop sign or the light, and they go right by.
Yeah.
That's lawlessness. I don't give any regard to the law. I don't have to stop here. They just go on through. I go, wow, look at that. They just went through, and I've been sitting here for 2 minutes. Yep. Not that, and I don't think it's right at all. I think that's terrible. You don't know. It could be a school bus up there or something. And somebody's kid might be there. You don't know what's up, but you just violated. Why? Because you have a lawless heart. You don't want to follow rules.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't following the rules. I'm going through the light.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going through. I see people go through railroad crossings, all kinds of stuff. You know, lawlessness and iniquity.
Yes.
Our country is filled with it. And it's going to get worse. It's not going to get better.
Yes, it is.
More carjackings now than anything else. You're starting to see them on the news every day. I don't want to go work and get a car. I'm just going to take yours. Lawlessness. Iniquity abounding.
Yes.
People don't care. They do all kinds of stuff. The internet is filled with filth. It's being exported all over the world.
Yep.
America puts out more pornography than anything else on the internet. Did you know that?
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And the saints get hung up in it. We act like we don't deal with it, but sometimes the saints get hung up in it, and we need to get clean. The Lord said, come out from among them and be ye separate, said the Lord. See? And so we don't want to talk about that. But we need to talk about it. And Jesus says here, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations. That's our assignment. And then the end shall come. So God is so merciful in giving time to get this gospel around the globe. You know what? He gave us ability. We got towers. We got satellites. We got all kinds of stuff to reach places we were never able to share the gospel before.
That's right. Amen.
And what does our country do? We're the biggest exporter of pornography of any nation on the earth. That's awful. It's really awful. God gave you the technology to get the gospel to the ends of the earth.
Right.
Now, just let me share this with you. There's three mentions of the phrase where there's these verses. Only three mentions of this term are found in the scripture, and I talked about it a little earlier. The first one was Genesis 18:6. It says, and Abraham hastened into his tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly three measures of fine meal and knead it, and make cakes upon the earth hearth. So she was preparing a meal for some angelic visitors who had come to her. In Matthew 13:33, another parable spake he unto them, that the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal until the whole was leavened. Right. Notice there's a woman in the parable.
Gotcha.
Luke 13:21. It's like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal until the whole was leavened. See, so leaven has that ability to permeate, and there's a woman in every one of these cases.
Right.
When you get to Revelation, Mystery Babylon is a woman seated on our hearts. And this is not against women. Don't go and get the idea, oh, Pastor Fisher is speaking of misogynist, anti-woman thing. But the woman basically is just a picture of who was suitable for Adam to help him not be alone.
Yeah.
And it was through that woman and the design of her anatomy that Jesus was able to become a man without being a sinner.
Yes.
So God isolated the bloodstream through his design of the woman.
Yeah.
That's so heavy there, I tell you. When you study that, go study it. Don't just believe me. I'm waiting on y'all next time I see you. You go study. Open a book, read that. And find out that there is no blood transfer. That's why when we do DNA tests, we know who the daddy is. And you see that on Maury Povich and all that other stuff, you know, like Jerry Springer and whoever. They be checking and say, yes, it's 99% sure that you are the Father. See what I'm saying? God designed that when he made Eve. And he said it's not good that the man should be alone. That's so profound to me, it's unbelievable. But this three measures of meal is talking about how sin permeates through the whole lump. Like Paul told the Corinthians. He said in 2 Corinthians 11, I would to God to bear that you would bear with me in a little folly. He used a little foolishness here and there too. He says, bear with me. He said, for I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband. Now he speaks of the church as a lady.
Yep.
A female. That I may present you a chaste virgin to Christ. So the church is the bride of Christ.
Yes, it is.
So this is not against ladies. We're talking about the whole church, men, women, whoever. You are the bride of Christ.
Yes.
See that? He says, for if one cometh to you that preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him.
Yes.
For I suppose that I was not one whit behind the chiefest apostles, but though I be rude in speech, yet in knowledge, he says, yet not in knowledge. My speech might be weird, but he said, my knowledge is correct.
Yeah.
But we have been thoroughly made manifest to you in all things.
Mm-hmm.
See, so he's telling them, I want you to be careful because there's another gospel.
Yes.
There might be looming over the head. Same thing he told the Galatians. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?
That's right.
Before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I want to know, did you get saved by keeping the law or by hearing the gospel with faith?
Yes. Right.
See, don't go back thinking you can do law and be saved. That's not going to work for you.
No way.
The passage in Job has just one thing I want to share with you out of it. He says here, and he asked a good question, man that is born of a woman is a few days. This shows you how sin grabs on and makes life miserable for people. He comes forth like a flower, he is cut down, and he fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Looks like we're here for a short time. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such a one? Does God really care about such a person as this? Or brings him into judgment with thee after all the misery and stuff that we've been through? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one.
No.
But you know what God did? He brought Jesus out of Mary. Because of the way he designed Eve.
That's right.
And it was, she was overshadowed with the Holy Spirit, and a clean one came out of her. See, that no one else could do. So the answer to Job's question is answered with the provocation of Eve and the fact that God made her so that she could deliver his son when the fullness of time was come. So that question was answered. I just wanted you to know that. Now let's move to this close. I know y'all say, thank you, Jesus. We're getting over there. But let's move right to it now. I want you to understand. I've been giving you some information. Now I want you to understand, what does this mean?
All right.
For Men's and Women's Day. When Eve was attacked by Satan in the garden, it was about being tricked into believing that God could not be trusted giving his word.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's okay to rebel against your husband since God and him are not credible. That was the devil's message that he provoked Eve.
Yeah.
Sit me on me track. Well, whatever. Sounds like a good plan to me. She was tricked, though.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You see?
Yes.
That's what started the provocation. God, however, knew things that were going to turn out this way. He knew it would turn out that way, and exactly how the devil would do and become empowered, which that's what happened. There was a transfer of power when the devil caused sin.
Yes, it was.
And that the sacrifice would become necessary, that a sacrifice would become necessary all the way until the cross. There was a necessity of sacrifice. When God the Son would come down to bring an end to the power, the works of the devil, and to restore all who believe in him to right status with faith required to walk in victory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So God knew that. It's going to be a whole spin of time from here to here. That's why Paul pronounced it to the Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son made of a woman. And so the first woman was Eve, whose deception led mankind into deep and snowballing things of sin.
Mm-hmm.
The second woman was Israel, who was produced, totally scattering of the covenant people got produced by Israel because she was the wife of God. If you read Isaiah, you'll find out the people he chose, he separated them for the purpose of treating them as his wife.
Mm-hmm.
You can read Ezekiel 16, that's a one good place, or Hosea, to see the women that God looks at Israel as the woman of his love.
Mm-hmm.
He looks at the church now as the bride of Christ today.
Yes.
And so you see, they ended up till they crucified his son and they were scattered, the covenant people. And it was their rebellion that mothered the many assaults against Jesus himself and ultimately the crucifixion of Messiah. And the final woman is there's a third woman who is the false church, not the real church, who continues in the rebellion of the devil and is too proud to humble herself to the entirety of God's word. That's that third woman, Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots, and of the abominations of the word of the earth. And therefore she becomes Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots, because she refuses to bend to God's word. So we're being told today, throw out the word. Let's just make people happy and have church.
Mm-hmm.
It's working really well.
Mm-hmm.
People are packing Colosseum.
That's
with
right.
Folks who don't want to hear anything about sin, death, hell, mm-hmm. redemption. You may not hear about Jesus at all. But what part of the church are you, men and women?
Amen.
Of St. Timothy and of New Prospect.
All right.
Hopefully you are those who love the word.
Amen.
You have to learn to walk by faith and not by sight.
Right.
Because it looks like, oh, they're doing really good over here. Turn on and listen to them sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Are they telling you what you need for your soul? That's the important thing.
Yeah.
You know what? There's only one way to be saved. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. The Bible is so black and white, crystal clear. There's so salvation in no other, for there's no other name under heaven which has been given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, all power is given to me in heaven and earth.
Yes.
Go ye therefore and teach all the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. So he said you are to go teaching, and this is to the end of the world. That means the church's mission didn't change. So who told these people to change the mission?
All right.
And redact God. Take out what you don't, what you don't like, and stack up as many people as you can who have no knowledge of the truth.
None whatsoever.
That's the last thing I would ever want to do is edit God. That's terrible. He told so many, Ezekiel, eat the whole book. Told John, eat the whole scroll. It's the whole scroll is the diet of the church. See? And we need it. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So who do we think we are? We're going to butcher up the word and take out the stuff we don't want to talk about. It's unpleasant to talk about all these things. So I'm going to go ahead and shut up because I have about a book here I can share with you. But I hope you got the crux of what I'm trying to talk with you about here today. Because you are made in the image of God.
Yes, we are.
See, and that's the invisible part of you, not the physical part of you. Your mind, your will, your emotions, your spirit, that's made in the image of God because God cannot be seen. But God also returned the favor. This is the last thing I'll say. He took on our image. Because he made us from the dust to have a body in order to put his spirit into things like him inside of. So then he made a way to come into a body without being contaminated with the sin problem. And his name was Jesus. And he was crucified on the tree. Died to shed blood that was never from any man. Says in the book of Acts that it was God's blood that was shed on the tree. This is what you have to know. When you get tricksters who want to trick you and manipulate you from believing the truth. Acts 20:28, I think it is. Where he says, let me go to that and we'll close with that. Acts chapter 20. Paul is talking to the Ephesian elders. He didn't go into the land because he didn't want to get hung up. He was trying to make it to a certain destination by a certain time. And so he says to them, verse 28 of Acts 20, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers,
yes,
to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. So the text tells you what blood was in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
How did that happen? Because of what he did when he made heed. Not good that man should be alone.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.